The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Increase our faith, the apostles said to Jesus. These preachers of Christ uttered those words in response to Jesus' instructions on what it means to proclaim the gospel. Peter wanted to know how many times a sinner must be forgiven after having been repented by God's law. Note my use of the word repented. Bad English, to be sure, but nevertheless the case. You see, repentance is created in us after being confronted by God's word. Repentance is not a choice on our part, but rather God's word leaving us no choice but to agree that his word is right and just and that we have no defense against it. Said another way, God's word creates the proper response in us. And so Peter's question was about the extent of the gospel. He wanted to know at what point a person can go too far and out-sin the mercy of God. Peter offered what he perceived to be a rather generous number, 7. In response, Jesus told Peter and the rest of the preachers that 7 times, well, that's a start. But the right answer is every time. Every time the law is preached and a person's conscience is burdened by sin, that person is to be forgiven. Rebuke and forgive. Rebuke and forgive. Rebuke and forgive over and over and over. This is Christ's brief instruction on the proper manner for dealing with sinners. This is what Christ wants. This is your task. Apply yourself here. But what if the person does the same thing over again? Rebuke and forgive. But what if they're not even trying to do better, to improve, to maximize their spiritual potential? Rebuke and forgive. That's it? Yes, that's what it means to preach God's word of law and gospel to a sinner. And by the way, the Christological threat for being ashamed of Christ's words here and refusing to rebuke and forgive is indeed a great one. It would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to put a stumbling block in the way of the little ones, Jesus said. And there is no greater stumbling block than the refusal to rebuke and forgive. Threatened by Jesus for refusing to preach this confusing and offensive word, that is why the apostles asked for their faith to be increased. Increase our faith, Lord. And we can hear the sarcasm dripping off of Jesus' lips when he said, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry bush, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and do you know what? It would obey you." But as Jesus was noting, not a single tree was moving. The apostles didn't need increased faith. They needed faith. They were locked. Locked in the bondage of believing that if a person kept the law, did their best, worked hard at cultivating virtue and avoiding vice and other things like these, then they would be rewarded with righteousness and salvation. And so Jesus gave them a parable to expose the futility of their unbelief and their lack of faith. Jesus asked which one of them would expect to be rewarded for doing what was expected. It's like these tip jars we see all over the place. You know what I'm talking about? I work in a coffee shop. I took your money and I handed you a cup of coffee for which you paid. Now, reward me for doing what I was hired to do, people seem to be saying. I'm sorry, that's not quite right. Warm and breathing is not the occasion for reward. And mama is the only one who is calling you exceptional. And lunacy such as this most certainly does not work with God. Loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, and treating our neighbor like we want to be treated is how God created us. To do those things means simply to be who God created us to be. God doesn't reward us for doing what he created us to do. No, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done, is the conclusion to which Jesus leads us. So along with Peter and the rest of the apostles, we come to the end of ourselves. Even perfect obedience to God's law does not save. How much less then does our unwillingness and inability to be and do what God commands us? Well, here we are, having heard Jesus's command to rebuke and forgive. We should try it, don't you think? I happen to know some things about you because they are true of me too. We sin against God and others continually in thought, word, and deed by what we do and what we fail to do. And we have no excuse, and we certainly have no reward coming to us for our effort or lack thereof. Our only hope is a Savior whose mercy for sinners like us can't be exhausted. Well, that is exactly who you have in Jesus Christ. And it is by his authority that I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There, I have rebuked you and I have forgiven you. And now the path is cleared all the way to heaven by the Christ who is for you. Amen.